Shalom and a warm welcome to this international online midweek service. Child of God, you are blessed, incredibly privileged to be present this evening under the anointing of the great prophet. We're excited that you've joined, and we ask that as these few minutes roll, as we expect to receive the delivery tonight from the prophet, that you invite your friends, you invite your family. Let's gather together and hear from the Lord. I'm Simba, joined by Andrew. We're excited to be present in the studio this evening. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, my brother. I do share your excitement. It is, I think once we saw the advert on social media, the excitement went through the roof because you're wondering, when chosen?
When chosen? The subject for this evening, when chosen. Mm. And so the man of God will do like he did last week. He won't be here for too long, so quickly, let's gather around so that we don't miss a moment of this subject this evening. When chosen.
Indeed, like you say, people really do need to gather. And I think by being part of this broadcast, by tuning in, by watching, by being here at this time, they have also done something to choose themselves to be that select group that is spoken to by the oracle of God our Father. And it's a privilege and an honor, and really excited.
What you're saying draws me to look at the comparisons made last week about prayer that affects the place and prayer that affects the individual.
Yeah.
And so when we gather here, primarily we are being exposed to the light of God that comes to change, most importantly, us.
Yeah.
When we are changed by that particular word, it enables us to enter into any environment because we are the ones that are given the fortitude, the strength, and the ability. When prayer happens on us, when ministration happens on us, and the texture of our being changes, amazing things happen.
And also the understanding we have now of what prayer is, even the discussion around prayer.
Yes.
It then becomes the prayer for the people. So even as you gather, know that it's a time when you're receiving that kind of ministration, that prayer from our Father.
So take your mind off any distractions. Take your mind off things that may be bothering you. Take your mind off things that may be calling for your attention from different aspects of your life. And bring yourself together to hear from the Lord tonight concerning the subject, when chosen. It's a beautiful evening. Allow us a few moments to introduce the great prophet. Shalom, our Father.
Shalom, pastors. How are you doing?
We are so excited to be here, Father.
Glad to be here as well.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thank you,
subject,
for
when chosen.
When chosen, indeed. That's the topic. That's the title of the message tonight. And as you have already alluded to our viewers that we are not going to be here for too long. It's important that we delve straight into the message of tonight or for tonight, which is on the choosing of God. And I pray for everyone who is here that has already joined and those that are still coming in, that the blessing of God will reign over your life and the anointing of God will overpower every attack and every advancement of the enemy in any area, any aspect of your life. I pray that since you are here, something great, something big, and something wonderful is bound to happen. Thank you again for joining. We are here briefly tonight to talk about when chosen. When chosen. So, what is the message that I have for you today? There's a story that I would want us to read from the book of Numbers, It is captured in two chapters, which is 16 and 17. But for the sake of time, we are going to focus much on chapter number 17 only. But obviously, I'll give you chapter 16 just to have you understand the context so that you can appreciate what really is transpiring in chapter 17 of the same book of Numbers. And it's going to help those of you that are very, very attentive to God's voice. It's going to help you a lot. This message is going to really help you a lot.
Thank you so much.
Not only in the sense of you getting comforted, or you being given promises, or you having your hope restored. No. But there is a literal empowerment that is likely to be derived from an understanding that you're going to have of tonight's message.
Thank you.
You are going to be empowered by
Thank
God.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
So I want you to listen to this because I'm not here for too long. So please, I want you to follow as we get into the reading of the word from the book of Numbers, chapter number 17.
Thank you, Father.
So let's read it, and we're going to take it slowly. But I'll make sure that I'll also, at some point, take you back to chapter number 16 of the same book.
Thank you.
For the sake of context.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers.
Okay. And God spoke unto Moses, which is exactly what makes Moses a prophet. His ability to hear God's voice and his ability to understand what God is saying, and also the grace given to him to execute instructions from God. That ability in its nature is prophetic.
Wow.
Getting to do what God has said, that ability to do what God has said, the ability is prophetic. The prophetic ministry is not only verbal. Mm-hmm. The prophetic ministry goes as far as practicalizing the spoken word of God, bringing the word of God to pass, making sure that that which is spoken by God is practically implemented, so that people can get to see what was ahead. They have to see with their eyes what was heard by the ear.
Wow.
Spoken out of God's mouth. So God spake unto Moses the prophet to speak unto the children of Israel. So when God spoke to Moses, the children of Israel did not hear. Otherwise, there was no need for Moses to then speak to the children of Israel.
Yes.
Concerning what God had said, had they heard. So they could not hear. So the voice that God, the word, the message that came to Moses was coded. And only a man with a prophetic unction could unlock, could understand, could discern the message that was coming from God. And Israel does not carry that ability to hear a voice directly from God. So God, Moses has the cord. He has an ability to hear God. And the children of Israel, the only cord they have is to hear what Moses is saying. So their ability to hear only goes as far as Moses. Moses' ability goes as far as God. He hears when God speaks. And when God spoke unto Moses, the children of Israel did not hear. Only heard when then Moses spoke unto them.
It's powerful.
And here comes the matter. After you have spoken to them, you will take the rods. So they will have to hand over rods unto you based on an instruction. You have to speak to the children of Israel. And having spoken to them, you will have to retrieve, you have to get from them rods. You will speak to a point where they will have to surrender rods.
Wow.
They will have to give you rods.
Speak unto the children of Israel and take of every one of them a rod.
Isn't it amazing that the rods that are going to be taken from the children of Israel, they will amount to 12. Yet here when you listen, Moses had to speak to the children of Israel and take rods from each and every one of them.
Wow.
Yet the number was 12. Yet the rod had to be taken from each and every one of them. That's in reference to the children of Israel. So it means that the 12 are supposed to represent each and every child of Israel.
That's so powerful.
So you don't necessarily have to have your own personal rod. There must be one rod that represents you.
Wow.
And you are considered a child of Israel who has a rod that you have never touched, that you have never used, that you have never handled. But there must be within your tribe an individual who has the capacity to carry a rod that represents all of you. So we are talking of millions of the Hebrew people that are not in possession of any rods, yet all of them are in possession of rods. So you will take 12, and having received 12 from the 12 leaders, you would have received rods from each and every Israelite. You're following?
Yes, we're following. And take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers.
But I understand.
Yes.
Yes. Sir.
So the rod is according to the house of their fathers.
Of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods.
12 rods, yes.
Write thou every man's name.
So on each rod, you make sure. So it means these names were not written. Their names had not been written on the rods. Because now we are about to bring those rods together in one place. There is need for identification. So we're going to write the names of the leaders of each tribe on the rod. We are doing so so that we give God an opportunity to choose. When chosen. Do you think that names are supposed to be written on the rods so that God would know which one is from Aaron? Which one is from Benjamin? Which one is from Ephraim? Which one is from Zebulun? Do you think God needed to read the name that is written on the rod first before he knows where this one is coming from?
No.
No. It wasn't for God to read. It was for the people. After God would have chosen. So there is no conflict. There is no argument over the outcome. It has to be easy for people to know. Lest they start to fight over the rod that has blossomed. So names are supposed to be put on the rod before any changes can be noticed.
Yes, Father.
Okay?
Yes, Father.
So God gives Moses an instruction, and he goes on to give God's people an instruction to surrender their rods. And this was going to happen just for one night. And the following morning, results are supposed to be out. God would have chosen. All that God needed was a night. And bring the rods before me, making sure that you have put a name on each rod.
Yes.
That represents a family, a tribe, a lineage. And let me spend the night doing the choosing. Now, child of God, I want you to understand something. It's one thing when it is you doing the choosing. It's one thing for you to choose. It is yet another when it is God doing the choosing. We have several things that we have chosen in life. But what really matters the most is when God chooses the one choosing. When you are chosen by God to choose. When you are chosen by God, choosing is for the chosen. When you are chosen by God, and then you go on to choose, you will choose according to the choosing of the Lord.
When you're chosen and you're called to choose, you choose according.
You will choose according to the choosing of the Lord. When chosen, what really is happening here? Let me give you a picture. We'll come back and then we'll read the rest. In chapter number 16 of the same book, what had happened, child of God, is this. There is a group of people who were part of the leadership of Israel. There was the Korah, there was Datan, there was Abiram, there was quite a list of individuals that decided to rebel against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. So what they did was to come to Moses and they said, why have you taken so much upon yourselves, you Moses and Aaron? You have taken so much, and they even said that you have set yourself too high.
Okay.
And yet, all of these God's people, yeah, holy.
Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them.
Every one of them is holy.
And the Lord is among them.
And the Lord is among them.
Wherefore then lift up yourselves.
You have lifted up yourself.
Above the congregation.
Above the congregation. This is not something that God did in terms of promoting you. You have promoted yourselves above the entire congregation of Israel. It's your own doing. It's not God's choice. It's your own doing. It's your own doing. I'm here to talk about you. You are the subject.
Thank you, Father.
I'm here to talk about when God's finger is on you.
Thank you.
What then begins to happen? That's the topic. That's the message for tonight. Things that you'll begin to see. So just give me a few minutes to work this out. And I'll begin to show you things that you will begin to experience as a result of having been chosen by God. There is another choosing, another appointment.
Yes, Father.
That goes beyond what we have witnessed even a few days ago.
Push it, Father.
When God chooses you, when you are chosen by God,
yes, Father.
And you are blessed by God, by the instrumentality of his prophet, into the presence of God, where you seem to not be having the conducive environment.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And you are there. And it's in the middle of the night. And you're in the presence of God. And God is given a chance to choose. What then begins to happen to you from the morning going forward? That's what I'm here to talk about.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
What the choosing of the Lord does to the chosen, when you are chosen, proof that you are chosen. What will begin to happen to you? God is making use of me tonight.
Thank you, Father.
He has spoken to me and you did not hear. Now I'm coming and I'm telling you what I've heard from the Lord.
Thank you.
Because you have the cords on how to hear from the prophet.
Yes, Father.
My cords gives me an ability to hear from the Lord. So this is what the Lord taught me to tell you.
Yes, sir.
There is the choosing of the Lord, and there are things, there is a whole list of things that you need to expect to see happening to you as a result of God's choice. You having been chosen, we are living in a season when it's not just about 10 individuals, 15 individuals that are supposed to be chosen.
Yes, Father.
That were supposed to be elected.
Yes,
no, we're talking of the majority.
Thank you, Father.
When is your personal election, where you get chosen by the Almighty?
Yeah.
Where he stretches out his hand, and then further than that, he stretches forth his finger and he appoints you. What is likely to happen should God choose you tonight, despite circumstances around you, despite the hardness of your condition?
Yes, wow.
As a rod.
Wow.
When chosen. When chosen.
This is it.
So they rebelled against Moses. And Moses said, okay, come and let's have a talk. And Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they said, you cannot even, you don't have the capacity even to invite us for a meeting. We are not coming there.
Wow.
We know you have a problem. And when they turned down the invitation, Moses was enraged. Moses was angered by that. And the Bible says, and then he fell down on his face. Moses, of all the men, Moses, they made him to fall down on his face. Imagine.
When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
So I don't want to say much concerning chapter number 16, but eventually what happened was, then Moses had to give an instruction. He said, okay, this is what is going to happen. Let God choose today the one that he has decided, the one that he would want to see presenting themselves before the presence of God. So have some incense that you will burn, and Aaron also and the sons, because understand that these Korah and Dathan and so on, they are also coming from the same tribe of Levi, but they were not of the priesthood. They were not from the family of the priesthood, though they were also Levites. So they also wanted to get into the position of the priesthood. And they managed to get the people, they mobilized people.
Yes, sir.
And they had people, princes, 250 other leaders that joined them. They were not aware The 250 people thought this was a noble cause.
Yes.
And yet, Korah, all that Korah wanted was to be a priest. That's all that Korah wanted. He also wanted to be a priest.
Yes.
There was nothing in that for them. There was, for the 250 were never going to get any promotion out of this. It was one individual.
Yes.
Who was aspiring to occupy a higher position, but his ability to influence 250 so that he would individually attain a position. So the 250 princes
yes.
also came.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, so I'm just trying to summarize it.
Yes.
Finally, Moses then prayed and he said, if God is going to select here, and he gives you a kind of death that he has given to people before. Then according to Moses, he's saying, I'll consider this choosing, this election, null and void. There must be something
yes.
that God is supposed to do to confirm that I did not do this thing by my own choosing or by my own mind.
Yes.
It was God who sent me. So Moses is saying, so the time has come. So God gave an order. He said, okay, I'm going to kill everybody. And Moses again went before the Lord and he said, not because of one person. You can't kill everyone because of just three guys.
Yeah.
This is just three people. You can't kill everyone. And then God had to downsize his anger. And he said, then God said, okay, so if that's the case, I'm not going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
So advise the people to stay away from the tents of Korah. And Moses said, okay, that one I will take. Then he went and then he advised the people to step aside.
Separate yourselves.
Separate yourselves
this congregation.
From the congregation that has chosen to rebel against the Lord. Separate yourselves. Because Moses knew exactly what was now coming. And when people had separated themselves, then he fell down and then that's when he prayed that unless there is a new death that God is going to invent, something, maybe there must be something like probably the opening up of the earth so that these people are consumed.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says it so happened that even as he was speaking, when he has ended, articulating his expectations
yes.
and his desire as to how he would rather have his enemies destroyed,
yes.
the earth responded.
And it came
the
to pass
was as, present to hear.
As he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder.
It opened up.
That was under them.
Under them.
And the earth opened her mouth.
So they all fell in, not just them, everything that pertaineth unto Korah. His cattle that was in the field knew that this is Korah's cattle. It opened up. The Bible says their entire houses, their properties also fell.
Swallowed them up, their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods.
The goods. Everything was buried. And immediately after that, there's the 250. Those ones were not swallowed by the earth, the Bible says, and fire came from God. Instead of burning the incense, the fire burnt the 250 leaders that had rebelled against Moses.
And they came out of fire.
Yeah, they came out of fire from the Lord.
And consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
They were offering incense, and they got burnt, and they all died. And this is what happens. God was trying to resolve a conflict.
All right. Okay, we're following.
Help us understand.
Yes.
Yes, fine.
And immediately after that display of power.
Yes.
The Bible says the rest of the day, people were running helter-skelter. They could not stand the ground because they were not sure. They feared the earth, lest it opens up again and it keeps swallowing more people. Follow this.
Yes, Father.
Then soon after that level of display of power and the choosing of the Lord, that your God had chosen Moses and Aaron, it happened that the following day, I don't know whether it was literally the following day or after they had buried the 250.
Yeah.
The people also came back to Moses and they said, "You have killed the Lord's people."
On the morrow, all the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Saying,
there was a murmuring after the choosing of the Lord.
Ye have killed.
After God had chosen, the following day, they murmured. They complained that you have killed. They did not see him digging a hole. Yet they blame him for the killing of the 250 that were burnt by the fire that came from above. It never came from Moses, from the Lord. And the earth opened on its own accord. Yet they still come to Moses and they say, you killed the Lord's
people.
Yes.
Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered.
Again. It was an uproar. It was a protest. They gathered again. But this time around. Now this is what is about to happen. When Moses was again praying, God said to Moses, I told you that it was better for me to get rid of the entire nation of Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation.
Now, this is the Lord now.
That I may consume them as in a moment.
As in a moment. I'm about to close this. I'm going to explain briefly chapter number 17, then we close. But hear what God is saying. God, in this instance, is now saying, get out of the people. Get away. So what is he saying? God is saying, I'm ready to consume the people. The only thing stopping me now from doing so is you. Your presence in that nation. Are the people aware that it is because of your presence, if you can pack your bags, Moses, and you separate yourself from Israel, you'll hear stories. I want to consume the people. I want to destroy. I want to scatter them. But please, I beg you, step aside.
Yes.
You are standing in my way. You are the reason why this generation cannot be consumed by my anger. Your presence amongst them.
Thank you, Father.
Is the only reason why I am failing to consume. I had already made up my mind. But you have decided to choose Israel as your dwelling place.
Hey.
If I can get you to walk away from them, then I'm able to deal with them drastically, and I'll do it immediately. So when Moses heard that, he knew that when God starts to talk like this, something is already happening in the camp. He then said to Aaron, rush, be quick, take a censer.
And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from
put fire therein from the altar
and put incense.
Put incense
and go quickly.
Run. He knew something is already happening in the tent. A curse is at work. Run. And Aaron ran. And he went and he stood between the dead and the living. 14,700 people had already fallen. There was a plague already in the camp. And all that Aaron needed to do was to identify the current location of the curse. They had the ability to know. As people were falling, he could tell that now the plague is at this point in terms of its demarcation. He knew exactly. So it was sweeping through the entire camp of Israel. Behind, it had killed 14,700 people. And this was over the matter that could not be resolved in chapter number 16 of the book of Numbers. So he stood there when the curse got to the censer, when the curse got to the sacrifice, to the incense. It stayed. It stopped. This is a picture of the coming of the Messiah, of course. I wish I had time to explain how Jesus becomes the demarcation between the living and the dead. He stands there in between. You die until Jesus. We are sick until Jesus. We are cursed until Jesus. From that point on, there must be life. So he has a way of identifying, standing in between. So I wish I had time to explain that, but I just wanted to see something here. So, the people are dying, and because of that, here comes again, after that demonstration again of power. Now we are in chapter number 17. God says, okay, let me make this loud and clear. Let's get into a proper demonstration where I get to choose. So now that's when God spoke to Moses and he said, get the rods from each and every Israelite.
Yes.
And the number was how many?
12.
Then he said, write the names. Now, lest you might have gotten it wrong, it was not the rod of Aaron. He took the rod from the tribe of Levi and they wrote Aaron's name on it.
And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi.
Thank you for that.
So, Levi is a tribe.
Yeah.
And you have the priests from that tribe.
Yes.
And not everyone from Levi was a priest. But you then have to write the name of Aaron on that one. Then you bring them before. Now you can read. Bring them before the tabernacle.
And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony.
Before the testimony.
Where I will meet with you.
You have to bring it before the testimony. I wish I had time to explain that part.
Father.
What kind of a testimony is that?
Indeed. Help us.
Is a testimony a place? Is a testimony tangible? Before the testimony. I know there was the ark. I understand that. But you bring the rods before the testimony where I will meet with you. Okay, keep on reading.
And it shall come to pass that the man's rod.
That the man's rod. That
whom I shall choose.
I, the Lord, will choose.
Shall blossom.
God chooses. God chooses. The only proof that I'm the one who has chosen. What you'll have to see as a confirmation that it was I, the Lord, who chose. The flowers. There must be a blossoming.
Thank you, Father.
Of the individual.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
It shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring.
The murmuring will end.
Of Israel.
The complaining of the people will end when I have chosen. When chosen, because the following morning, then Moses went into the presence of God and collected rods, and only one out of the 12 had bedded, had blossomed, and on it were almonds. one night.
And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds.
There is a yield.
In one night.
There is a harvest.
Hey.
In one night. Hence, we are here to talk about when chosen. When you have been chosen by God, this message is not about politicians. It's far from that. I'm here to talk about you.
Thank you.
When God has chosen you. When God has chosen you. Do you know really what happens to an individual when he finds himself right before the testimony, before the Ark of the Covenant? Your presence in the presence of God. Your presence in the presence of God. What begins to happen? Because tomorrow morning, people are supposed to see who has been chosen by the Lord. It's not a declaration by your mouth, but the fruitfulness of the rod, which has to confirm the choosing of the Lord. When the Lord has chosen you, okay, let's take a rod for instance. I'm not going to explain much about that, but the rod that was taken from the people.
Yes.
A name had to be put on the rod.
Yes, sir.
And the rods were supposed to be brought into the presence of God. But in the presence of God, understand, this happened during the night. And during the night, there is a lot that you don't have as a rod for you to blossom. You need light.
Yes.
In the tent, there was no moisture. There was no rainfall.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, they're in the wilderness.
And the rods that were put before the presence were not attached to the soil. Understand this. Understand this. Please, please, please get this. Get this. Because, of course, this was a tent covering the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
But there was no dust in there. There was a robe also that was spread on the ground. Still, there's no way. You have no access to the soil, no access to light, no access to water. And yet you expected the following morning to have flowers on you and to have almonds that are ready for consumption. So what does that show with regards to the presence of God? It goes to show, if you're a child of God, learn, sit down today and really study what the presence of God really is. There must be certain components of the presence of God that signifies humidity, moisture. There must be something. When we talk about the presence of God, let's be in the presence of God. I've been in the presence of God. There must be something in the presence of God that resembles light, that promotes germination.
Yes.
Yes, we know in the presence of God, there was the Shekinah glory of God, the light of God that was there. Even if the light was coming from the candle, it is the light that you find only in the presence of God. So what are we saying? We are saying when you are chosen by God, if you become the chosen of the Lord and you are put into the most hostile economical environment, where there isn't sufficient supply to promote your growth and your multiplication. As long as you are attached, because Levi means joined to. When you are joined, the Bible also in the New Testament declares, when you are joined to the Lord, you become one spirit with Him. There is a level of productivity that will begin to occur.
Thank you.
You having chosen, whoever you chose during the election, it's one thing. But you being chosen by the Lord, God chooses you, there is this power that comes upon your life that even when you are put into the most unfriendly atmosphere where there isn't any light to determine your growth. Because what gives seeds direction when a plant is growing? It is light.
Yes.
They gravitate towards light. So most of God's people have not really been aware of what the presence of God does to an individual. Apart from you speaking in tongues, your ability to reproduce and to multiply by the reason of the presence of God, so that the following day, there must be proof on every child of God listening to me that you are coming out of an environment that does not promote growth.
Yes.
I'm talking of an environment economically.
Yes,
that makes it almost impossible for you to blossom.
Yes.
And yet God is saying, if I'm to be given an opportunity to choose, I need one night. So, really, how did God choose? I'm saying, it's not entirely up to the presence of God to do these things.
All right.
Listen,
Help us.
Even those 11 other rods that did not blossom were in the same presence. And they did not.
Yes.
So what exactly is happening?
Help us, David.
So this is the issue now. When rods are brought before the Lord, before the presence of the Lord, they have chosen to come.
Right.
The leaders chose to bring the rods before the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
Now, when the presence now begins to choose, follow this.
Yes.
It means now you have those components that I'm talking about, those aspects.
Yes.
That promotes growth.
Yes.
Okay?
We're following.
Those portions of the presence of God that stimulates growth. Those areas choosing a particular road. When you are being chosen by those things that promotes development.
Yes.
That's the choosing.
Yes.
Though all of the roads are present.
Same presence.
In the same presence.
Yes.
Yet not every rod is being chosen
by the presence. By those particular elements.
Those elements.
That cause that blossoming.
This is what brings difference.
Okay.
In most of God's children, having chosen the presence of God, you must get to a level where you get chosen by the presence of God. Having chosen to be present in the presence of God, you must go another step further and be chosen by elements of the presence of God that makes you survive. Even if, you see, remember Isaac, there was drought. There was hunger in most of the cities. And God said, no, don't go to Egypt. Go to a place that I will tell you, even the place that he went to, there was not sufficient supplies. Yet in that year, he received a hundredfold. Hundredfold. It means he went beyond what water would usually provide in terms of yield. When it rains, no one would receive a hundredfold. He got it when there was no water.
Then Isaac sowed in that land.
There's emphasis. That specific land.
And received.
And received.
In the same year.
Same year.
And hundredfold.
It was a wrong year. Wrong environment. Yet in that same frame,
100.
He received 100-fold. This is what happens to a man who the Lord has chosen. The next thing that happens to you when God chooses you, He invites you into the most difficult place. He takes you to the most complicated terrain. Where people begin to wonder, but there wasn't any sunlight in there. How come he's coming out with a flower? There wasn't any attachment, any connection to the soil. Where did he get his nutrients from? You'll germinate from there, having been chosen. That's the power of the presence of God that is upon your life. You are not at the mercy of the politicians. Live beyond that. Go beyond that. You are bigger than individuals. Should they decide that you will never succeed?
No.
No.
And then you don't succeed?
No.
You are connected to a higher realm. You are connected to a superior source. Staying in the dark for one night. Yet the following morning, there was a name written, Aaron, on a rod.
Yes.
Ha! One night, and there are flowers. And also God said, now put it back, the rest of the rods, you can give it back to the people. The 11 rods were given back to the people. Levi and Aaron were left without a rod. Yet they had become the chosen, yet without a rod.
And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod.
And God said, but this one that has blossomed, put it back. Keep it in the presence of God.
Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept. For a token.
Imagine. So the power of the presence of God, it is so powerful to make you flourish. Number one. Number two, so powerful to keep you in that state. You don't go up and down. When he blesses you, you stay blessed. So you will experience these two dimensions from today.
Receive.
Where you blossom. From an environment that people will wonder, where did you get the light from? We never had any thunders. There was no cloud over you. The environment was not supportive. The policies were contrary to your agenda. And yet you're coming out with flowers. How did you get that? I extracted common components of the presence of God. That supplies all of these ingredients. Number one, number two. You will be preserved in that state of success.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Honestly, I know you might have wanted me to say something different. But what is that? Do you think that we should really rest in the hands of a human being?
No.
Is that the message that you would want to promote?
No.
It has to be up to an individual to decide. Come on.
No.
Come on. You are bigger than that. You are bigger than that. So what I'm telling you today is that when you are chosen by the Lord, getting God to choose you, even as you are listening to me, you will see there is an invitation that has come into the presence of God. You are worried about your choosing. Your choices, your preferences.
Yeah.
What matters here, child of God, is what he chooses.
Right.
If he is to choose you, he chooses you over circumstances.
Yes.
He beckons you, he invites you, he might send you to the most difficult place. He will send you to Dubai. Look at the temperatures there. As long as you are chosen, the blessing of God is upon your life. Ah, my God. It is that grace upon your life that will say no to every hindrance. every hindrance. It's not. That's how I view life. That's how I perceive the presence of God. It's bigger than any individual that this world can ever appoint.
Ah, thank you, Father.
Bigger than anyone.
Thank you.
Bigger than any economist. Bigger than any politician. Bigger. The presence of God that you're joined to as a Levite.
Yes.
Is greater. That connection will make you blossom. That connection that you will have to emerge, you'll come out when you cross the border into other countries outside.
Yes.
They'll have to question because there isn't enough light where you're coming from. Where did you get these almonds from? You flourish in this land.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Father.
The blessing upon this nation, Zimbabwe, will manifest whether the devil likes it or not.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
It will manifest.
Thank you.
Those that are joined, that are connected, that are of the Levite lineage, connected, those with an art, those that know how to join. That connection between you and the presence of God will promote your business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hear me, child of God. I know you want me to concede. You want me to succumb. You want me to give in, to surrender, and to admit that things are difficult. Things are tough. Please, that's your language. That's your understanding. You can only speak to the level of your connection. We are so highly connected to grace that is above circumstances. We are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, even orders and policies.
Yes,
we sit above. What God wants the people to see the following morning, neighboring countries should be ready to see you as a nation.
Thank you.
Blossoming.
Thank you, Father.
Almonds are going to emerge from this country. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Father. Receive.
How come they lack connections? They are not connected to the soil. They don't have a good relationship with their neighboring countries. How come they are still blossoming? That's the power of the presence of God that is going to be working in this nation from this day going forward. We want to see the mercy of God in that area. It's not up to individual. Child of God, hear me. Child of God, hear me. Individuals do not have the capacity to set you free from afflictions that are spiritual. Individuals do not carry that capacity to set you free, to liberate you from afflictions that are spiritual. They don't have that. You need to be chosen by God. We need to be chosen by God. Every country that you look at and you perceive it to be advanced in what? Most of the most powerful countries that you can think of, they are so powerful, especially in terms of their ammunition. What kills, not what gives life. So it's another bigger problem on top of another problem.
Yes,
that's correct.
Any country that you can think of right now that is so stable economically, let's look at the debt they have.
Into trillions of dollars.
Trillions. The government owes money, a lot of it.
Yes.
Let's look at the individuals, the citizens. Where democracy is taking place fully.
Buried in debt.
Everyone is in debt. Credit. 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 The entire population is enslaved. Your Bible declares a borrower is a slave to the lender.
Yes.
You don't get to see that. So when are they also going to be set free? from their own dead. Nations are crying everywhere. Why? Because there is only one leader that can bring satisfaction to the human soul.
Yeah.
The desire of the nations shall come. It's only Jesus.
Mm.
Every time you look up to an individual, please brace for a disappointment. I don't need to prophesy that. You, from experience, you have seen it over and over again. Every human being that you would prefer to deliver certain expectations and demands, be ready to be disappointed.
Mm.
What you can do now is to make sure that you join yourself to the right system.
Oh, yes.
Ah. Levi. The third son of Jacob with Leah. Levi, hear me. Develop the art of joining. It's important that you connect not to your neighboring country. It's an immediate country, the kingdom of God that is present right now, wherever you are. Join yourself to the presence of God and begin to extract aspects of the presence of God that will promote your business.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
So that you begin to flourish physically.
Mm. Thank you, Father.
Extracting spiritual things from the spiritual presence of God.
Thank you, Father.
And you begin to see things happening. They brought it out. Mm. Moses brought it out. He did not say, close your eyes and you'll see in the spirit that this rod has some almonds. No, physically, it was investigated, verified by physical people that indeed those are physical flowers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Having come from the presence of God that you cannot see. So that's what God is going to do. We have been connected to a presence of God that was invisible for years.
Yes.
But the only thing that can make that invisible presence of God visible are the flowers when we start to blossom as God's children.
Yes.
We will come out the next morning from darkness to light, and they will see our fruits.
Yes, sir.
God is going to prove that He's a faithful God. God is the leader of nations. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Child of God, you belong to Levi. You are a priest. You are of the priesthood. Understand that. So because of this unity that you have with the Lord, you begin to see results of the choice of the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Over your choices, let Him choose. After you have chosen, give Him an opportunity to choose. Should He choose you, child of God, get ready for flowers.
Yes.
Out of a dry ground, you will emerge. I've said what I've said. It was a preaching. It was a teaching. It was also a prayer. It was also a prophetic message. Those of you that are watching us tonight, please hear me and hear me well. I'm not saying this only to comfort you or to encourage you. I'm saying this to let you know that this power has already been made available.
Yes.
You will extract what is required from the presence of God into your business.
Thank you, Father.
And the next morning, other business entities will come and view and touch and interact with your profits.
Yes.
Physically, it will be tangible.
Thank you.
That you can get into the presence of God and you come back carrying substance that can be touched.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
By reason of the presence of God, when you are joined as a Levite, when you are joined as a Levite to the presence of God that is invisible, that invisible presence of God, when you are joined to the presence of God that is invisible, that invisible presence of God will cause visible things to materialize.
Yeah.
There will be something on you. There can't be any barrenness from now. I'm saying this.
Yes, sir.
I'm finishing by showing you this. You know, some few days ago, I was sitting with Mom, and Mom was showing me pictures of these two very cute babies, a baby boy and a baby girl, twins. And she was smiling, looking at these babies. And I said, I see a smile on your face. And she said, I'm happy. God has done it for them. I said, who are them? And she says, you see this couple, you see this woman. For 25 years, she was barren. And the last conference we had, ladies' conference we had at the Prayer Mountain in Chinoy, the Lord led me to invite people that were barren. And I said, next time you are coming with a baby. So she came and I prayed for her 25 years.
25 years.
Yes. And I'm looking at the picture and we are thanking God and we are praying. I said, let's pray. Let's thank God for this. 25. What could have happened now that never happened in 25 years? Can this be a coincidence?
Never.
No.
Never.
What cycle has this woman never been in 25 years? She must have. There are different fluctuations. We don't know what is happening in their womb. But surely in 25 years, staying with your man every single day, she must have passed through a certain cycle that allows her to conceive.
Yes.
Yet in 25, and we are looking at that and we are saying, look at how the other miracle that God is performing. The restoration and the recovery of the lost time.
Oh.
25.
Yes.
And it has to be twins.
Mm.
Look at the proper representation. A boy.
Wow.
And a girl. This goes to show that we are connected to an intelligent system.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
That considers a lot.
Mm.
No.
Yes, sir.
This kingdom of God is so civilized. We are dealing with a presence of God that knows exactly what to do with your condition and when.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
25 years. All that was needed was a connection to an invisible presence of God.
Yes.
And then she materialized. She brought forth. She blossomed.
Physically.
This is why we seem to be very arrogant when it comes to this power. We know it works.
Yes.
Yes, Father.
That
yes.
Connection has happened to a majority of you people watching me tonight. You have just been connected to a supply that helps you become fruitful. In that your barren state, child of God, conception is taking place.
Oh,
it doesn't matter what you are thinking of right now. It matters what I'm saying.
Thanks.
God has spoken. We will all agree in the morning when we begin to count the number of fruits. And I will ask you again. So then what happened? Why were you murmuring? Why were you weeping? Why were you crying? God took you into this most difficult atmosphere so that you can have a test of the grace that you carry. That you live beyond what humans can do. Let them do whatever they can do to make it even more complicated. The grace you carry is more complicated than any complication. You will come out of this.
Thank you
will flourish. You will blossom.
Thank you.
When God chooses you, this is what is going to happen. This shall be seen on you in the morning.
Yeah,
you are God's choice.
Yes.
God has chosen you. God has voted for you as an individual. And from this day going forward, it doesn't matter where they take you.
We receive.
It is by that choice, that appointment, that you will blossom and you will flourish and you will multiply. I pray the grace of God will multiply over you. He will cause his face to shine upon you. He will be gracious unto you. He blesses you going out and he blesses you as you come in. From today, in the name of Jesus, I minister healing into your body. I minister intelligence into your reasoning, into your understanding. Your eyes will open, you will see opportunities and you'll be connected. And when God blesses you and establishes you, you shall be kept in that state. No more falling short. No more going down.
Yes, Father.
No more becoming the tail.
Yes.
You have become the head and you remain the head.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, you will occupy positions that you never thought of by reason of this connection tonight. God has chosen you.
Mm.
And I want to allow the people now to go and enjoy their night. Please understand that I love you so much.
I love you too.
But as you know, God loves you more.
I love you.
Until we meet again, stay blessed and shalom.